What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode, another edition, another installment. We are back in a bit, and I know you guys missed the kid. You feel what I'm saying? But listen, welcome back to the Black Men Win podcast, our Black Women Win series. Listen. I'm excited for this year. This is our second annual Black Women Win series. If you didn't see the logo that was just up, we switched some things up. We had some last year. Again, I want to thank all the women that came on last year, some dynamic, powerful women that came on last year. And we got some dynamic, powerful women that we got coming on this year. You feel what I'm saying? But before we get into all that, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. You feel what I'm saying? We also have our Black Men Win scholarship out here, so please do apply. We got the QR code right at the bottom. I'll have it down at the bottom for the first 15 minutes of the show, and we'll also have our donate QR code. That's not even coming through, but I'll put the link to the donation for the Black Men Win scholarship fund down below. We have hit, and not only hit, but surpassed our scholarship fund. So please, if you would love to continue to donate to the scholarship fund, we are still looking for donations, still accepting donations. So please, we'll have the links down below in our descriptions, and we thank you. Listen, again, we have, second annual, we have a dynamic woman coming on the stage. I call her friend. You feel what I'm saying? Content confidant. Right. She's a creator. She's a dynamic YouTuber, host, producer, and the host of the Currency Club. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a round of applause for the Miss Whitney Styles.
Yay, yay. Round of applause.
Come on, Whitney. What's happening? How are you, friend? Can you hear me? Oh, snap. First of all, I got you muted, friend. Friend, I had you muted.
I was about to say, I'm over here talking about how excited and honored I am to be here, and my microphone is muted. Are you trying to sabotage me within the first 30 seconds of the show? Because I am offended. But in reality, I am excited to be here, excited to be a part of this series, and excited about your growth, right? Can we talk about your YouTube growth? Friend, I know you've been a longtime podcaster. I, too, consider you a friend, and I've just been watching you elevate on social platforms. But YouTube, 1,000 subscribers already.
Listen,
It's
been a growth journey. You've been right there at the front seat, eating popcorn, watching this journey. We bounce ideas off of each other. We've been on each other's platforms, I didn't see it coming. I've been at this thing for a long time. And I've told people I've had a up and down relationship with YouTube. And you know this, being a prominent YouTuber yourself, like, it's an up and down battle. It's not just posting the video, as you have taught me over the years, for real. It is not just posting the video, it is the work that goes behind it, right? And I always, for me, admired your tenacity, consistency, and your dynamic kind of aggression to keep going and putting out great, when I say great content, I mean great content. Like, I mean content that we're looking at and we're saying, hey, I can study this person. You're hitting every industry, and we'll get into more of the Currency Club, right? This is what friends do. You understand what I'm saying? We hype each other up, what I'm saying? But listen, before we get into all of that, Whitney, let the people at home know more of who you are, what you do, and introduce yourself a little bit to us.
Definitely, I would love to. My name is Whitney Styles. What's up? I'm in the building. So Whitney Styles, I am a fashion beauty lifestyle creator. That's where I initially kind of popped onto the internet. So I do have a YouTube channel, Whitney Styles, but then I also have a YouTube channel called Currency Club, which we will get into the details of all of that today. But long story short, I am an entrepreneur and a content creator. So when I say entrepreneur, I am a consultant in the DEI space. I am a real estate investor. I have property. You know, I'm a landlord. Rent that out. I am an author. So I have a book that's available on Amazon. I have a clothing line formerly known as Dress Code 187, but will now be the Currency Club merch, new website dropping very soon. And then, of course, the content creation. So fashion, beauty, lifestyle, but then also food, because at heart, I am a foodie. So I do food reviews and then, you know, just all kind of little cute reels related to food and some of my favorite stuff to do in Houston, because I'm originally from Grand Rapids, but I've been in Houston, Texas for the last 2 years. So that's me in a nutshell.
Whitney, first of all, and this is why I let people gas themselves up. See, y'all see why I allow people to introduce themselves during the show, because Whitney, I didn't know you was an author.
I know. I put it in the link. I have a book, friend. I have two editions of a book. My book is called...
What?
I know, right? See, I like other people to brag for me. I hardly ever gas myself up. I just be like, if you know, you know. I drop it in the description box of my own YouTube videos. And I'm like, hey, if they find out, great. But friend, if not, it is what it is.
You just can't skate over that, friend.
Right.
I'm telling you that now. You just can't skate that. You have two. Can you talk a little bit about your books a little bit?
Definitely. So during the day, I am a DEI leader, a DEI practitioner. DEI means diversity, equity, and inclusion. I've been actually operating in this space for about 10 years. So a couple years ago, I was approached with an opportunity to write a book, and I did it. And it was an amazing experience, and it was really well received. So lots of copies. And when I say so lots of copies, I'm not just talking about in the United States, right? I sold books in other countries, Australia, the United Kingdom, Japan, and a couple other ones too. So that was a major accomplishment that I wasn't even expecting. So I have two editions of my book available, and the book is called The Essential Competencies of Effective Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Leaders. So once again, available on Amazon. You can definitely search that, Google that, and it should pop up, but I will also send a link.
Wow. First of all, Whitney, I'm mad that
that you didn't know that?
Yes.
I'm dynamic. Friend, you know I'm dynamic.
Friend, I know that. But when we talking about inclusion, diversity, equity, especially us, you being from Grand Rapids, me going to school in Grand Rapids. What? Oh, no. Can you hear me now, friend?
Now you went out temporarily. You temporarily went out.
My pod track wants to act up. What I was saying was, friend,
yes,
you have a book out that literally discusses inclusion and equity. And I'm like, yo, we lived in Grand Rapids. You could have. Did you do seminars or anything?
I did and do. That's part of my consulting and my entrepreneurial work. Yes, I do keynote speaking. I actually have a speaking engagement on March 8th. It's the same day this podcast dropping. But yes, I do speaking engagements. Absolutely. Virtual and in person.
Right. Cause I'm sitting here and I'm just like, Whitney to me is way too dynamic to not. I think I'm just blown away. Let's just say that. I think for me, I'm just blown away again by how diverse and eclectic your palette is. Can I say that?
You can indeed.
Can I say that? Like I'm very impressed on how it is when you know somebody for just one thing, and this is just, you know what I'm saying? This is, or not just one thing, but multiple.
What do you know me for? What do you know me for? Tell the world that.
I know you for being the food reviewer, and I mean a great food reviewer too, because you're going to tell these people if it's good or not. You feel what I'm saying? But you've also, again, you've also stepped out of content creation. Again, you've talked to us about real estate. I know you've done that. I know you step into other areas. But when I hear book and author, I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. She out here authoring?
Period.
I knew you had the clothing line. I knew you had the makeup line. Hell, you might have a hairline that you ain't telling us.
Just a brand ambassador. Just
I'm just saying you are very multidimensional. And I want you to talk a little bit about having so, in a sense, having not even so much on your plate, but being so well diversed in so many areas. Talk to me about kind of the work that you had to do to get where you are right now, because that doesn't come in a microwave. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you to talk to me a little bit about how all of the things that you continue to be great at and you continue to learn and you continue to strive for greatness in, what was the work ethic between that? How did you get here?
Yeah, so that's a very loaded question. I can take it in a lot of different directions, but I'm actually going to start with my family, because my parents are amazing. Both of them are very hard workers. So they instill you need to work hard to get what you want into me and my sister's lives at a very early age. So I've always valued working hard. Like, I was the person who, you know, was 15 years old with a job. I started out bagging groceries, and then I was a barista at Starbucks, right? And then I did retail, and then I did some other stuff. But my point of saying that was I've always worked since a very young age because I saw my parents working. And then the entrepreneurship piece is honestly something that came from my dad. My dad is a business owner. He owns a business that does some property management, but then some also just like contract work, like electrical, drywall, just so many things of the things, right? So he's in that industry, and he's always been an entrepreneur. He always taught me, like, don't count on one income. Don't let anybody else determine your income. Don't rely on that one check to get you to where you want to be in life, right? Because he's always like nice things too. So growing up, my dad was always the person who's like, okay, you want the new fancy sneakers? I got you. You want the name brand stuff? I got you, right? So I knew I had to work. He had to work in order to get these material things. But it's not only about the material things. I brought up my parents to say that they're both very hardworking people who instilled that in me at a very young age. But I also want to talk about location, because as Ty mentioned, we both grew up in Grand Rapids. And for those of you who know, or maybe even those of you who don't know, because I know people listen from all over the world, Grand Rapids is not a diverse town. It's a small town. It's very conservative, and it's very white. And I don't mean any offense by that. That's just the reality. Like, it is what it is. So when you grow up in a predominantly white town and then work in predominantly white organizations, go to school in a predominantly white institution, because I graduated from Grand Valley, you have to navigate in a different way in order to excel, in order to be respected, in order to prove yourself, in order to be given opportunities. And oftentimes, most of us know this, as Black people, we have to work twice as hard to get the recognition and opportunities. But sometimes Black women have to work three times as hard. Like, I am a minority on so many levels, right? I'm a woman, I'm a Black person. In some of the corporate spaces I worked, I was also the youngest person in the room. So I always had to prove myself, like, prove that you have the competencies to do the job, proved like that you even deserve to be in this room. So that in and of itself shaped me as an individual, an entrepreneur, and kind of set me on the path to do great things in life. Did you want to interject and say something? Go ahead.
No, that answers the question quite literally. To your point, you know, honestly, I can say I lived in Grand Rapids for 8 years, so you can say it. I grew up there in a sense, right? Living in Detroit, growing up in Detroit, and then going to college for 8 years, you know, getting my bachelor's and my master's there. I will always say Grand Rapids was always the starting point for me, right? Mm-hmm. Grand Rapids was always that you know, that kind of, you know, trampoline to, you know, to propel me here. But as Whitney eloquently stated, Grand Rapids is a very white conservative town, and that's, again, nothing against them. That's just the reality. And so, again, when you're in these spaces, you know, and it's hard to be you in that space. And so I want you to talk a little bit, because you hit on the fact that you, as a Black woman, and as many Black women, have to work three times as hard in that space, in those spaces. Can you talk to me about some of the struggles that you may face in those spaces, even with your background, even with the intelligence that you have, the expertise that you continuously give to your clients or on a consistent basis? What are some of the struggles that you see or continue to see in those spaces, whether that be corporate or otherwise?
Mm-hmm. The first thing I'll say is this notion of we need to be able to be our authentic selves, bring our authentic selves to work, when that's not the reality. A majority of corporate spaces are not ready for that, because the moment that a Black woman shows up with their natural hair or their, you know, maybe passion for something or a strong, I'm trying to think of the word, but it's kind of like related to passion, right? So as soon as you have high energy and fired up about something, you have to be careful, because that could trigger someone else, right? So they may be offended by your hair. They might be offended by your direct communication. They might be offended by just whatever you say or do or how you communicate. So I, at an early stage of my career, always felt the need to tone things down, right? So tone down the way I speak, kind of almost talk in circles and not be as direct as to not offend someone. Dress in boring corporate clothes instead of the fun, cute stuff that I wanted to wear. So I just always felt like I needed to cover certain aspects of myself, whether it was my personality or the way that I speak or even my background. Because do you know how sometimes you go into the workplace and they're always like, how was your weekend? It was good. What'd you do? I'm not going to tell them what I really did, how I was turned up at the club and blah, 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 popping bottles. I'm not going to tell you that, because I have to separate myself from, you know, Whitney Styles from Whitney, my government last name, right? So I was always feeling the need to be almost two separate people. And when it comes to social media, I was always blocking my coworkers. Like, I'm not giving them a window into my personal world. If you know, you know, but I'm not going to invite you into my life, because, and the reality is just, you know, that can get used against you. I know people who have been fired for stuff that they posted on the internet, stuff they said, opinions and things like that. So while my, you know, Whitney Styles personality is very direct, very provocative, in a sense that I encourage people to think, I respectfully challenge is what I'll say when I use that word provocative. But yeah, you can't be your authentic self. Is the moral of my story.
No, man, you.
Did that even answer the question?
Yes, what
was the original question, friend?
Yes, you, because, friend, the original question was just basically like, yo, what are some of the sufferings that you see? And that's, you hit on every last one of them. First of all, as you said, you can't be who you naturally are in the space. I've seen it myself, been in spaces like that myself, where we as Black men and Black women cannot be us. You understand what I'm saying? And as Whitney said, if you know, you know. When you can't be you, but you're looking at everybody else being them, it is a notion where, okay, well, do I have to be like them? Right? Do I have to sit here and kind of conform? It is sickening. So when you were talking about that, that hit on the nose. Like, I know for me, and I can speak to it a little bit, I know for me, working in various spaces around Grand Rapids, I had to tone it down. I'm loud, I'm Black, I'm proud. I never let it down for nobody in this conservative space. Never. I never toned it down, nothing. So when people saw me and I started the podcast, oh, do you think I toned it down? Absolutely not. Right? But when you have that, when you're unapologetically that, and when you're in the spaces being that, Whitney and others, as Whitney eloquently said again, challenging some of those kind of notions in there, where honestly people are just tense and afraid of, I don't know, but honestly, there's nothing to be afraid of, because as Whitney said, when Black women get passionate, when Black women don't agree with you, honestly, we want to say, oh, she's the angry Black woman.
She's bossy. She's emotional. There's so many labels that we put on women, but especially Black women, to reinforce stereotypes, which may not be the case.
Talk to me about some of those. Some of the labels that you see, you hear, when it comes to Black women, the angry Black woman trope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Have you been called an angry Black woman? And what does that, if you have, what does that do to you as a Black woman? Or how do you feel when being called that?
Mm-hmm. So I surprisingly have not been called the angry Black woman. I'm thinking about all of my professional career experiences, and surprisingly, that has not been me, but I've seen it for other people. And what I think about is, of course, we try to encourage people to be their authentic selves, but then the first moment they show who they really are, you want to put labels on them. So we can't have it both ways. We need to pick a side. You either want them to conform to societal norms, which were created by, you know, oftentimes white, religious, wealthy men. That's what you want us to conform to, or you want us to show up and be who we really are. So I just feel like we can't have it both ways. But I feel like, go ahead, Ty, you want to jump in. I could tell you want to jump in to say something. We can't have it both ways, right? Is that what you're thinking about?
I want us to have it both ways so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we can. Is it just me, though? Like, I'm just like, listen, Why can't you be here and I be here and we just be, right? Mm-hmm. Can we just be? You be, I be, and we just be.
In the perfect world, yes, we should be able to coexist as the people that we aspire to be.
Mm-hmm. I know, Whitney. I know what you're going to say, but...
But the fear. I kind of want to circle back to your question about fear. You had said something on the lines of, what are people afraid of being their authentic selves? They're afraid that they're going to get fired, number one, that they're going to miss out on opportunities, number two, that they're going to be overlooked for stretch assignments or projects or promotions because they're going to leave a lasting impression in somebody's head. Remember that one time you were a little too excited at the meeting and you said this, or that time you were a little too emotional, right? These labels that we put on people. Right. So we fear a missed opportunity and being terminated. Ooh. And then also reputation. I'm going to say in West Michigan, reputation is huge, right? Because I worked in the workforce development space for a long time and we all knew each other. The nonprofits, the government agencies, the for-profit people doing the work, we all knew each other, right? So if you had, you know, maybe an episode that did not play out the way you wanted it to and you left a negative impression in somebody's mind, they're going to know somebody. So you might be applying for another job and it could impact your opportunities based on the way you maybe, you know, presented yourself in one situation that might not even be a reflection of who you are anymore. So yeah, I just wanted to circle back to that fear to say people fear missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Or losing out on things.
Is it, how do we, and I want to frame this question the best way I can. How do we continue to show up as us while, I guess, sitting here trying to, if you want to, I don't want to say conform, but I do want to say maybe tote the line of making sure we don't miss the opportunity, but also, I guess, giving drops and, you know, driplets of ourselves around along the way. Is that possible?
Yes, I hear you. So I have a lot of thoughts around that too. One thing that has worked well for me is that I naturally observe. So that's just like one of my tendencies. When you do like assessments and they kind of categorize you, what type of person are you? I observe. So one of the first recommendations I have, and something that has worked well for me, is when I show up, I read the room. Like, I want to know my audience. Before I even get to the meeting, I'm looking at people on LinkedIn, right? I'm looking at what they do for a specific company, what their role is, maybe what school they went to, things like that. Because it's important to know who you're interacting with. Sometimes we can, you know, set a bad first impression or a missed opportunity just from not doing our homework or our research. So know who's going to be in the room or the space, but then also show up and be willing to just listen first. I've never felt the need to be the loudest person in the room. I always feel like the loudest person in the room has something to prove. So I never do that. And when I speak, I want to add value to a conversation. I don't want to speak just to hear my own voice. So I'm not one of those people who are going to be, you know, on Facebook posting 13 statuses a day or at the meeting feeling like I need to open, talk in the middle and close the meeting or just like always adding something. I like to add value to the situation, right? So another thing that's important is just literally adding value to every situation that you're in, because I feel like that answers one of the questions that you had asked me earlier. Like, how did I get to this place that I'm at now? I literally add value to every room and every conversation. So when I go into a place, you have to respect me. You got to put some respect on my name, because when you look at my resume, when you look at maybe the companies that I work for, when you look at the people who endorse me, it's like, it's undeniable. Like, she's talented. She deserves to be here. She doesn't have anything else to prove. Another thing about being our authentic selves is I feel like there is still some level of professionalism, right? So, I mean, you can't just show up to work or any situation acting how you might in your own household, right? So we might have to slightly modify our speech without code switching, but, you know, slightly modify our speech, maybe not use all the lingo in the terms that we will use on social media when we're in real life, right? But I feel like times are changing, which is a good thing. I think that after all of the events that happened in 2020, like the unfortunate murder of George Floyd and so many other Black and brown people at the hands of police brutality, the world had this aha moment, this awakening where they're like, okay, something has to change. Bias is so real. Racism is so real in our institutions and America as a whole. So we need to do something. And then as a result, a lot of organizations around the world started doing, you know, like unconscious bias trainings, microaggressions trainings and things like that. So I say that to say, I feel like the world is shifting to a space where they are more welcoming of people showing up and being more of their authentic selves. But we still have some work to do. Because me, even though I'm comfortable now, more comfortable now than any other previous employer, I'm never just going to show up at work and tell my employers all my business, right? Yeah. So I have a very nice supervisor now, and she's always like wanting to be supportive and ask me what's going on, but I'm still keeping work and personal separate.
And like, that's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to do it.
I still encourage that. Don't get in any space telling everybody all your business about your home life, your relationship, your kids, your aspirations. Like, absolutely. Some people are allies and strategic partners, but I just have never been an open book, never will be. And it's been working for me.
Especially not at work. Y'all don't need to know my business like that. Mm-hmm. Whitney, you've been dropping some gems. I've been loving it, okay? Been dropping some great gems. Listen, our last serious question, right?
Okay.
What does Black women win mean to you, right? We ask the question to our fellas when I interview my guys. I ask them, what does Black men win mean to you, right? When you hear the phrase, what does that mean to you? So we flip it and ask our ladies, our dynamic women, what does Black women win mean to you? When you hear that phrase, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that?
Black excellence, Black joy, Black elevation. I think about rising the tide, right? So if I win, I'm going to put myself in a position to help other people win. If I have 5 opportunity, I'm going to give an opportunity to someone else. So the collective impact is what I think of how when one person elevates, we should be intentionally bringing in the next woman with us, sharing our resources, our knowledge, our insights, our wisdom, or whatever it might be. And in my case, it's creating a platform to elevate other people. So that's honestly one of the reasons that I started the Currency Club, which I know we're going to talk about later. But it's, you know, using our position and influence to elevate and influence others in a positive way.
Come on, Whitney. See, this is why she does the Currency Club. You understand what I'm saying? So let's get into the Currency Club, right? This amazing show that you have created, the Currency Club, that has over, let me count this right.
About 35 episodes. Is that what you thinking?
I was about to give you 50 because I thought you already did 50. Okay.
Not yet. We coming.
You understand what I'm saying? I was about to give you about 45, but I was like, it was 35 episodes. You just put out a new episode.
Indeed.
And we'll have that link in the description when we put this episode out. But what was the initial idea behind the Currency Club, and what can we expect from Miss Whitney Styles and more of the Currency Club? Because the Currency Club is a hub, I believe, for me personally, it is a hub for a lot of entrepreneurs in various industries, not even entrepreneurs, but businessmen and women, entrepreneurs of all walks of life through various industries who you get to sit down with. And honestly, if we do the homework, we get to kind of network with, right? You create that space. So talk to us a little about the Currency Club and what you have coming for us next.
Mm-hmm. So the Currency Club was designed to educate, inspire, and entertain the viewers about relevant topics related to entrepreneurship and side hustles and branding. So oftentimes, people have this aspiration to be an entrepreneur or to make some extra money. And I wanted to create a platform of influential people who are doing that. So whether it's a passion project or a project where they're actually making money, I wanted to give them a platform and some free marketing, some free promo to elevate their brands. So as Ty mentioned, I invite entrepreneurs, creatives, podcasters, fashion influencers, makeup artists, actors, and just so many other talented people to be a guest on the Currency Club to share their knowledge and insights with the audience. So I encourage people to talk a little bit about their journey, kind of what type of products or businesses they serve, what are some of the challenges in your space? What advice would you give to other people? Were some of the financial investments you had to make up front, or what are some of the educational requirements to do the type of work you do? But once again, everything is around educating, inspiring, and entertaining the viewers. So I also throw a couple games in there. And I would say the foundation of Currency Club is, of course, to provide an opportunity for people to promote their brands. But then also, it's just all about the hustle. Like I told you, I've been working hard since I was a teenager. So I want to inspire other people to get some money too. And honestly, it's also about empowering our Black and Brown creatives. So not exclusive to them, but it was designed for y'all.
It is definitely designed for us. For sure. Whitney, to me, and YouTube, you have to do a better job. Okay. You can't be, you gotta do a better job. Y'all better stop playing with Whitney Styles. Okay. She out here doing some great.
And been doing great work for years.
You've been
the
doing
Whitney
great
Styles
work
channel, the Currency Club channel, okay? Both.
Stop playing with her, okay? But Whitney, like when I got hip to the Currency Club, it was maybe about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. And
real quick, it couldn't have been 2 years ago, friend. Thank you for giving me my flowers. But Currency Club launched January.
No, I know. It was January.
January of last year.
No, Whitney, I'm not doing this with you.
January of 2022. I am positive.
Club, and then you had the new Currency Club.
It's the same thing, friend.
Oh my God, friend.
The hashtag. Okay, so what happened was, let me provide some clarity.
Okay,
I want my show to be called Currency Club.
Yes.
But just general Currency Club is taken on all social media platforms. So I had to throw new in front of it just so I can secure the YouTube handle, the Instagram handle, stuff like that. So new, I mean, it's just there for decoration. I really would prefer it to just be Currency Club. But if I had to put a word in front of it because the other handles were taken, I just threw new.
Okay.
And new makes sense though, right? Because
but it does
new ideas,
does
new inspiration,
sense.
New yes. money, new content posted. Like new, it works. But
no,
ahead,
so Brian. I've been a fan since the inauguration of the Currency Club, right?
Thank you.
And For me, I learned something with every interview that you give. You're a great interviewer. I think you should be kind of interviewing full time. That's just me, but don't get me,
you know what I'm saying? Man, I'm trying to be on the Breakfast Club. I'm trying
listen, that's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You got the skills for it. You got it down. You know what I'm saying? Listen, the Currency Club is literally a great way to not only understand a lot of industries. Like for me, it was one specifically. My guy,
what was the episode about?
My God. It was the Grand Rapids. He or she was in Grand Rapids, owned a gun store.
I knew you was gonna say that. It's probably Daryl. Daryl Rostick.
Daryl, my guy Daryl.
Rostick Arms. He's had at least 3 episodes on the Currency Club.
Oh,
amazing
my God.
Guest and entrepreneur. Yes.
Daryl was that one right there. For me to know, like, yo, there's a actual, guy who black man who owns a gun store in Grand Rapids. And I'm like, wait, what? Because again, as we talked, we didn't, and sometimes even still don't see that.
Real quick, let me geek my friend up because I love Daryl Rostick, long-term like friend, entrepreneur who's been in a bunch of different lanes. So Daryl Rostick was the first guest on the show because he was a firearms instructor, right? So he talked about his business, Smart Shooters. But since that episode dropped January 2022, because he was like my second or third guest, because he believes in me, I believe in him. He was one of the first people on my list that I needed to reach out to, right? But point of saying all this was, he started out as a firearms instructor, but then he bought land and has a whole gun range, right? So that when he's training people, I can actually take you to my gun range to shoot. But friend, that's not it. He is manufacturing his own line of firearms. So on top of being a firearms dealer, he literally has his own brand of firearms. Daryl, you need to get him on the show, friend.
Daryl!
That's why he was on my show 3 times, because he is amazing. He's doing so much. Yes.
Wow.
That's why I'm like, let me brag a little bit on him. He needs all the elevation. And he's also a content creator. He has a YouTube channel, so he posts informational content about how to use firearms. And he's paid on YouTube. His channel is monetized. So yeah, he's doing that space too. Doing it.
And then you said, first of all, I think the thing that got me was you said he bought land. I was like, wait a minute.
He has other plans. He has other plans for what he's going to do with his land next. He dropped some of that in his Currency Club interview. His aspirations for what he's doing next. So, yes.
Again, this is why we do this podcast. Yep. This is why we do this podcast.
Educate and inspire. That's why Currency Club exists.
Inspire. Hype up. Our friends,
give people they flowers.
You feel me? Giving people their flowers while they're here. And this is why we got Miss Whitney Stiles on the podcast. Because Whitney, you are not only just all the labels that your jobs give you. You're a woman. You're a sister. You're
a daughter.
A daughter.
A friend.
Friend.
An ex-girlfriend, a Stop future it. Wife.
You a mess. But at the core of it all, you are a human being who continues to strive and thrive for better. It's not to say you don't have challenges in your personal life. It's not to say you don't have challenges through your life. But you are a representation, and this is just for me, you are a representation of what better looks like.
Thank you.
You are a representation of what can be instead of how things should be. You understand what I'm saying? And it's through your continuous just determination, drive, and work ethic. Work ethic is crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm glad God put me in good company with people who have amazing work ethic, because my work ethic is nonstop. So to have people around me and, behind me, in front of me, next to me, whose work ethic is undeniable as well. And again, we bounce ideas off each other. I see Whitney and I'm like, yo, her work ethic is crazy. How she keep going? And she doing this and she doing that and she doing this. She got a full-time job and she consecrates. She doing this. She editing videos. She's sitting here getting merch together. She getting makeup lines together. She writing books. She writing a third book. She out here. She about to open
she
the
book. She opening a day. She, you know, yes.
Listen, it is to the point where we definitely want to see you win. We want to see you continue to be great. And we just want to say thank you and continue to thrive.
Yes.
And we love you, Whitney. Period.
Love y'all too. Appreciate you.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to the people before we get out of here?
Yes. Yeah, subscribe to the Currency Club on YouTube. Tap in with me on all social sites. So I am Whitney Styles on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all those sites. That's the fashion, beauty, lifestyle content. But then also definitely tap in with Currency Club. You know, you're going to have to search New Currency Club, as Ty pointed out. But New Currency Club on YouTube and Instagram. We got all the inspirational content there, all the giving other people their flowers and, you know, elevating the voices in the Black community. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here. This was fun.
No problem. I appreciate you so much for being here. I thank you so much. You've been an amazing guest. I love when we get on camera and just and do this. This is amazing. And I hope, you know, to do this again. You feel what I'm saying?
Ready. You know? I don't know what episode I'm going to fall in line with, but yeah, let me know when you're ready. Let me know when you're ready.
I've told Whitney, I'm like, Whitney, I have to produce a podcast for you. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's going to be. And we're going to do it. So it's going to happen. Again, if you watch the Currency Club at all, Whitney is a dynamic and great interviewer. She does her research. Again, this is why I have people around me like that. They keep me on my toes and I love it. Whitney, we thank you. We appreciate you for coming through. To everybody, we love you. We thank you for watching. You feel what I'm saying? We thank you so much. Please subscribe to the channel. You feel me? Like, comment, share, subscribe. All that jazz to the THC Media Network. Over 360 subscribers on our podcast network page. As Whitney eloquently stated, I have over 1,000 subscribers on my personal page, and we have new content coming there as well. So I just want to say, first of all, thank y'all for really, really doing it. You know what I'm saying? This entire year, we appreciate you. We thank you so much. And the year is not even over yet. We're just hitting March. So thank y'all so much. We'll be back with another Black Woman Wins series episode. We thank you. We appreciate Whitney again. And this has been another one. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.